نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها فلما تغشاها حملا خفيفا فمرت به فلما أثقلت دعوى الله ربهما لئن آتيتنا صالحا لنكونن من الشاكرين. Respectful honorable friends, the verse recited to you, which we had done the tafsir, we had begun doing last week, I mentioned to you, we're going to a little more detail of it. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها, that He is the one who خلقكم, created you, من نفس واحدة, from a single soul, وجعل منها زوجها, He made a spouse from it, ليسكن إليها, so that He could find comfort from her. Referring to also Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu salam and Sayyidina Hawa, and last week I mentioned to the importance of nikah and the role that this relationship of a husband and wife plays towards acquiring comfort for one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this verse mentions that the purpose of this relationship of husband and wife is liyaskuna ilayha. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, despite him having the various bounties and the pleasure of Jannat whilst being in Jannat, despite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him the companionship of Sayyidina Hawa, who gave him liyaskuna ilayha, that comfort which he would not have found in the various bounties of Jannat. And this liyaskuna ilayha is a very important aspect with regards to a nikah. Because we have to understand that where there is comfort between the husband and wife, where there is a good relationship between the husband and wife, where there is peace between the husband and wife, there is peace in that home. And when there is peace in that home, it has an effect on those living within that home. It will have an effect on the children as well. And that will then lead towards a good upbringing of the children. And where the mahol, the environment of the home is good, and the upbringing of the children is good, there then it has an effect on the entire society. It is for that reason that you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, with regards to various commands of His, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just mentioned or indicated towards certain principles of those ibarat, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not gone into detail with regards to the masail of those ibadah. For example, salah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the farziyat of and the command and the ruling of salah 73 times in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran does not mention to us how to perform the salah. And the various other masail of pertaining to salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not mentioned these to us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left that, and we by means of the ahadith have gained knowledge of the exact times of salah, as well as how to perform salah, the various rakat of salah, and the various other masail and ruling. This has come from the ahadith. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us with regards to sawm, with regards to zakat, but what is the nisab of zakat, and how zakat will be given, on whom zakat is farz, all these other masail, these have not been mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go into detail with regards to these aspects, but He just mentions to us the principal ruling and the obligation in the Quran. However, when it comes to mutual relationship between the husband and wife and relationship with people, these are those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned with detail in the Quran. In various different parts of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually gone into more detail. And further, we find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned a lot more in the hadith. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has gone into a lot of detail with regards to this relationship between husband and wife, to show us the importance or the role that this relationship has on the entire society. Because if the environment in the home is correct, rectified, upbringing of the children is correct, then the society will be at peace. It will have an effect on society. Where we have this anti-social behavior, it is who? It is the children, the youth, that create fear in the neighbors, who create this environment of antisocial behavior. And this is because there isn't that upbringing, correct upbringing from the home. And where the husband and wife are always at each other's throats, where they are always fighting at one another, they're just yelling and screaming at one another, there's arguments and fighting within the home, there's no time for them to see towards upbringing, towards the tarbiyat of the children. In that home in which the children also grow up, just hearing the parents fighting one another, swearing one another, it has an effect on that child. It has an effect on the behavior of that child, and then this is manifested when a child is at school, when a child is at madrasa, when a child is outside. So because this relationship has a big effect and impact on what's going to happen outside the home, and on society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in detail in the Quran. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Himself has mentioned various ahadith, many ahadith with regards to the correct manner in which the husband and wife should live. Now last week I had indicated that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions was here liyaskuna ilayha, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other parts of the Quran also mentions similar. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا of sukoon, of comfort, of this acquiring of sukoon and comfort between the husband and wife. Now this sukoon and comfort, how can this be achieved? And how can we create an environment of where there is comfort between the husband and wife? Today people will complain and they will say, well, there's no sukoon in our home, there's no sukoon in our marriage. But rather, a person who is due to get married, those who are married will warn that person that you don't know what you're getting yourself into. You're better off being alone. The bachelor days. In this way, people frighten the individual. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَجَلْنَا بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, people are of the opinion, well, we do not find any mawaddat or rahmah in our marriage. And there is no comfort in our marriage, there is no sukoon in our marriage, there is no peace in our marriage, there is no love and affection in our marriage. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the purpose of this union is to create comfort, the purpose of nikah is to create comfort, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed love and compassion between the husband and wife, then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this, then this is definite. This is for sure. And there is no false in this. This is true and definite. It is our wrongdoings that has removed this affection and compassion and this comfort that is meant to be there in our nikah. Whereas if we, the husband and the wife, they live with one another according to the rights and the way that they should do, then there will be, for sure love and compassion, and there'll definitely be comfort, there'll definitely be peace in their marriage. What is the root of them not being sukoon, of them not being comfort? Or what is the root of acquiring comfort? And that is laying importance towards hukukul ibad. There are two things. One is hukukullah, the other is hukukul ibad. Hukukullah to do with the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in hukukullah is the salah, the sawm, the zakat, the hajj, and the various ibadat that we do. Whether those ibadat are badni ibadat, which are physical ibadat, or whether they are monetary ibadat, whether it's, for example, the hajj which combines both, which are the ibadat, these ibadat which are related to hukukullah. And the ruling with regards to hukukullah and the position of hukukullah is that if a person has neglected with regards to his hukukullah, he makes tawbah and istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. And if he dies without seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah ta'ala wants to, then maybe out of his mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he desires and if he wants to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that individual. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgiveness is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our duty is that we seek repentance. And a person who seeks repentance from no matter what sin he has committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. That is guaranteed. But one who dies without seeking forgiveness, then he's going to be held accountable for the wrong that he has done. He'll be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll be taken to task. Illa if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires and this is barely out of the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive. And there are such ahadith wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people as well. No matter, despite whatever sins that they have committed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith of an individual. And this person had no good deeds at all, he had committed sin his entire life. When the time of his death had come, he had bequested his children that when he dies, then his body should be cremated. It should be burnt. And the ashes gathered should then be scattered on land and on sea. The reason being is mentioned that my sins are such that I have been so wrong that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me to task, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me for task, then there is no way that I can be protected and saved. So he had commanded such. After he died, his sons had done this and they had scattered his ashes about. Then when he was presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means no matter what is done with our physical bodies, the ruh is still going to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not going to be able to escape from standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned him that why had you done such? Which he mentioned that, oh Allah, you know how bad my deeds were, that there was no way that I had been protected or saved from your punishment due to the deeds that I had committed. So he wanted that instead that his body, instead of him facing the azab, maybe if his ashes are scattered about, and that he'll be saved from the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he did this as well, but he did this out of khashiyat, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that the reckoning will be so difficult for him, upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him. And he mentioned that I did this because of khashiyat, fear for you. So even then, although he hadn't made, his a'mal were not good, but he still had his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith with regards to another individual, that there were two companions, and these companions, one was that he would do his ibadat and the duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other wouldn't. So his friend would warn him all the time, And on one occasion he found his friend involved in such a deed that he regarded to be very severe and major sin. To which then he warned him. When he warned him, his friend had said to him that, look, you worry about your own amal. You haven't been sent as a guardian over me. This is between me and Allah, you worry about your amal. So this friend of his got angry and he said that, well, the action that you have done, the evil that you have done, there is no way that Allah is going to forgive you. Now, there is no forgiveness for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then after they both died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned to the one who was doing righteous deeds, who made this statement saying to him that, who are you to say that Allah will not forgive him? Who are you to say that Allah will not forgive him? What rights do you say of have of making that claim? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then threw him into the fire of Jahannam and threw his friend in, and placed his friend in Jannah to show his mercy. But who says that I cannot forgive? It is entirely up to me. If I feel, if I decide to forgive, no matter what sins that person has done, then I will forgive him. Yabna Adam, لو بلغ زنوبك أنان السماء ثم استغفرتني لا يشرك بالله لا يشرك به شيئا استغفر لك ولا أبالي. That, oh my servants, Yabna Adam, if you come to me in such a state that you have not committed sin, shirk, and your sins are as high as the peak of the heavens, ثم استغفرتني, but you seek forgiveness from me, لَسْتَغْفَرْتُ لَكَ, I will seek your forgiveness, I will grant you forgiveness, فَلَا أُبَارِي, and it doesn't matter to me at all how much your sins are. Allah subhanahu, in a hadith Qudsi of Sayyidina Anas sallallahu ta'ala mentions, يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَ ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَمْ يُشِكْ بِي. Oh my servant, if you come to me in such a condition that you have filled the entire earth with sins, but you have not done shirk, لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً, then I will come to you with the entire world full of forgiveness. As long as you have done shirk, you see forgiveness from me, no matter how much you fill the heavens with your sins, you fill the entire world with your sins as well, but you seek forgiveness from me without having committed shirk, then لا أبالي, الله تعالى mentioned that it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't matter. The amount of your sins does not have any effect on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't have any bearing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness at all. It is a case of us seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we seek forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us, no matter what sins we have created and what sins we have done. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. And who? That, oh, those souls who have done excessive sins, who have oppressed themselves by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have remained persistent upon sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not fear and lose hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The poet says, Kaan pe aayi jab sada la taqnatu. کان پہ آئی جب صدا لا تخنتو روتے روتے وہی مسکرانے لگے. The one who out of guilt and remorse is seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's now worried and guilt. His remorse and guilt has overtaken him for the wrong that he has done. Now he's crying, not knowing that, can I be forgiven or not because of the sins and the nature of the sins that I have committed. So the poet says, کان پہ آئی جب صدا لا تخنتو. When the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not disperse, do not despair, do not lose hope. When these words fell on the ears, rote rote wahi muskurane lage. Whilst we were crying, we started smiling, knowing that there is still ummid, there is still hope of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, israr, remain persistent upon sin, is not the one. The one who seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he may commit the sin 100 times, he is not one who is persistent. Persisting on sin is the one who persists continuously sins without seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَمْ يَسِرُوا مَنِ اسْتَغْفَرَ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي يَوْمٍ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that israr, persisting upon sin, is not the one who does wrong but then seeks forgiveness. Even if it is 100 times, you not call that is not the person who is persistent upon sin. Persisting upon sin is the one who sins and does not repent from it. In other hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be a person who is sinful, and according to the ruling, and according to the usul or the principle, because his evil deeds will outweigh his good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the angels to throw him into the fire of Jahannam, that he is now destined for the fire of Jahannam. And then when he will be taken towards the fire of Jahannam, every so often he will stop and he will turn around and he will look towards Allah ta'ala. The angel will drag him towards the fire, again he'll stop, he'll turn around, look towards Allah. Again this angel will keep on dragging him towards the fire, he'll stop and he'll be look, turning around, looking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angel that stop. Stop and ask him, why is he turning back so often? Why is he stopping and turning around and looking back again? When he'll be asked, he'll say, oh Allah, that although you have destined and you have commanded the angels to throw me in the fire of Jahannam, I'm looking back, waiting for when you might decide against it and change your decision and tell them to take me towards Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angel that when he has so much hope in me, then when that is the case, take him to Jannah. Take him to Jannah. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith with regards to a merchant, that this merchant was such that when he would deal, he would tell his workers and his agents that whoever comes to buy from you, that if those who take something from you as a loan, then make ease for them in repayment of the loan, and those who cannot repay the loan, then even forgive them if you need to. When this person died and when he was presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels were asked, what amal has he brought? Does he have any amal? The angel will say, his amal, he has no amal whatsoever. Again Allah tells us, is there anything good in him at all? To which the angels will say, Allah, there is one thing in him, and that is that he was very forgiving to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say that when he is so forgiving to people, then I have more rights to be forgiven. On that basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another riwayat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions with regards to an individual, this individual will be such that he has no good deeds at all. And while he is there, he is at the reckoning, watching the reckoning taking place. And then there he will find that there will be such a person who, in order to acquire Jannah, he is just missing out on one good deed. And he will go about asking, looking from people, asking his friends and his family, please just loan me and grant me, just give me, borrow me just one neki. This one virtue, that's all. Where it is here a case of his good deeds and his bad deeds are equal. Or maybe where it is a case of where he's just missing out on one good deed to make it equal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. Or at least make him from the A'raf, the people of the A'raf. In this way he'll be searching and seeking one good deed. And in that he'll go to his various people, close people he'll go to. Husband will go to the wife won't want to know him. Wife will come to the husband won't want to know her. The child will go to the parent won't want to know the child, and the child won't want to know the parents. But best friends will not want to know one another. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. For each person, mother and child won't see one another. Father and child won't see one another. Each one will flee from one another. Why? Because it's going to be a day of nafsi. And this shows us the state of the hereafter, where in the world the mother has so much love for her child. Where Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that on one occasion a mother came asking. She came asking for something. And said, Aisha Allah ta'ala mentions that I had nothing but one date, and I gave her this one date, and she had two children with us, two babies with her. And what she did is, I gave her, the only thing I had was a one date. She then bit that and bit it in two pieces. She broke in two pieces and gave it to both her children, and she was without anything. That's the love the mother has for the child. Another narration Aisha Allahu Ta'ala Anha mentions that all I had was two dates, and I gave her these two dates. The one date she split up between the two children. And once they had eaten, she was about to take that one for herself, but the children were asking for more, so then she split that in half and she gave that to them as well, and she remained hungry. This is the love that the mother has for a child. What? The mother has for a child. But even on the day of Qiyamah, that same very mother will not turn towards the child, will not look towards the child, will kiss of nafsi. Nafsi, each one will just be worried about his and her own self, and how they can acquire salvation. And on this of the love of the mother, just look at the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 100 rahmat of his. 100 stages of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from those 100, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just distributed one on this world. And it is that one stage of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been spread in the entire humanity, and by which we find people have compassion towards one another, where the mother has compassion for the child to the extent where a wild animal also has love and affection towards its cub and its child. So that all the love and affection we have throughout the world, from the time of Sayyidina Adam till the day of Qiyamah. And if dinosaurs existed before Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, then from then, because Nabi Kareem mentioned with regards to wild animals, all the love that is around, where that case of that mother, where Nabi Kareem mentioned that mother would never throw her child in the fire of Jahannam, into a fire. Where one occasion Nabi Kareem and them were traveling, and they came across a group of people, and they asked them who they were. They found out they were Muslims. And at that time there was a mother who had the pot on the stove. Obviously that time it was a stove, it was just the fire that was there. And each time the fire took some strength, she would then keep a child, move her child away from the fire. You would move away from the fire. And in this way, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see this, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam even said to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, that do you think, would you expect that this such a woman would throw her child into the fire? The Sahaba had mentioned, no, never. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more love for his servants than this mother has for her child. Then what the mother has for the child. And then the nation where this mother herself, then she came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that, are you the Nabi of Allah? Yes. That is the case. Then she says that, would any mother throw her child in the fire of Jahannam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. And then she asked, then why would Allah throw his servants in the fire of Jahannam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his head down and he started weeping. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to her that is true, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not do that. But for those who do kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those who do kufr, then that is how they are treated. Just the way the parent, the mother will never be able to throw her child into the fire. But if that child grows up and says to the mother that you are not my mother. The child grows up and says to the mother, you are not my mother. I don't take you to be my mother. Or swears and slanders that mother. The mother then will not show any compassion towards that child, but she'll give him a few. The father will give the child a few. In the same way, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us up and granted us everything, given us everything, and then a person grows up and says that you are not my Rabb, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to show compassion towards that individual. It is on the basis of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then throws a person into the fire of Jahannam. And now here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that how from these 100 mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this one is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed that throughout the entire universe. And the remaining 99, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left that for the day of Qiyamah, for the day of reckoning. This, we can't even comprehend. We fail to comprehend or understand the love that a mother has for a child. Just one mother. But here from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just one status of this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so that the entire world's mothers, the love they have, every creation, whatever love there is between people, that is all just from that one mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just shows how much mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses. And then 99, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore the day of Qiyamah, he just shows us that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will come into effect on the day of Qiyamah. And it is that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will grant a person salvation. But it is that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to acquire. And if our a'mal are good, then that our a'mal will then warrant this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because on basis of a'mal alone, no matter how much a'mal we do, we all know the condition of our a'mal. And every servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much a'mal we do, how much ibadat we do, no matter what great quality we do, we still cannot fulfill the haqq, the duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we're supposed to. Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadat. We can never, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, we cannot complete and do the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to what the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is impossible for us to be able to do this. And when that is the case, we cannot just merely have hope on our a'mal. Because it's not going to be our a'mal, it is this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will give us and grant us salvation in the hereafter. And so a person should not have pride on the deeds that they do. They should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because al-iman bayna al-khawfi wal-raja, iman is between hope and fear. And how should we balance hope and fear? The Muhaddiseen mentioned that when a person is in the young age, in the youth, a person should have more fear than hope. So if he has more fear, then he'll abstain from committing wrong. And when a person is in old age, there he should have more hope than having fear. Then if he has more fear, at that time he'll reach his qabr before time. There he should now have more hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than him having fear. And when in young age he's having hope, because in young age if he has hope, oh, Allah Ta'ala is so forgiving, Allah is most forgiving, then he's going to misuse that and he's going to go out and he's going to start disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just having hope that Allah will forgive me. Nabi Kareem said, no, that person is a foolish person. Why? Because Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsuhu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut wa al-ajizu man ittaba nafsuhu hawaha wa tamanna ala Allah. That the foolish one, the intelligent one is who controls his nafs. And he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mandala nafsuhu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. His a'mal are that which are for ma ba'da al-maut. Al-kayyisu mandala nafsuhu, who controls his nafs. Wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. And his a'mal and his deeds are for that which is going to come after maut. We are such that whatever deeds or whatever action we do, we only work for that which is in this world. Ma qabla al-maut. Not for ma ba'da al-maut, ma qabla al-maut. For that which is before maut. Meaning this dunya and this world alone. And with regards to ma'bad al-maut, dekha jayega. Ma'bad al-maut, dekha jayega. We'll see about that later. We'll do about that later. We'll sort ourselves out later. Maybe in old age, maybe in later age, maybe at this stage in our lives. Then we'll start doing Allah Allah and worrying about the akhirat and making our akhirat right. But that is, well, this is world, make the most of the world, live to the most. Make the most of this world. Nabi Kareem has mentioned that this is not an intelligent person. Intelligent one is the one who controls his nafs. If you're not going to control the nafs, then you're going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intelligent one is the one who recognizes the mischief of the nafs, and he recognizes that the nafs is such that you have to control the nafs. If you don't control the nafs, the nafs will control you. Control the nafs, you'll be under control. And do not control the nafs, leave the nafs out of control and the nafs will control you and you'll also become out of control. This is what will happen. وَالْكَيِّسُ مَنْ دَى نَفْسَهُ وَعَمِلْ نَفْسُهُ وَعَمِلْ لِمَا عَبَادِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ اتَّبَى نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And the foolish one is who? No, he doesn't control his nafs, but he does as the nafs wants. He follows the dictates of his nafs. And with regards to akhirat, here the intelligent one, he does amal for after maut, but here this person, he just has hope. Tamanna ala Allah. He just has hope on Allah. Allah is forgiving, Allah is ghafoor rahim, Allah is most forgiving, Allah will forgive. As I mentioned to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive and Allah can forgive. But the one who just has such hope alone, on that basis nothing is going to happen. On that basis nothing is going to happen at all. Where there is no amal, we need to be doing amal with regards. And when a person does amal, so the person who in the young age he only has hope and hope, then what will happen is that it will lead him towards disobeying Allah. The young age he should have fear. And where fear dominates, over hope. There is hope here, then that person will do good deeds. And where it's the opposite, then there's only hope, and then there won't be hope that he does good deeds. And there won't be good deeds, there won't be hope that he does good deeds. So, Al-Iman bayil khawf wal raja. Yes, it will be the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will lead towards a person's forgiveness. But this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come about how? By person repenting, person doing good deeds. Now, as I mentioned to you, how this person will be seeing here the reckoning going on, that there is this one person who for his salvation, he's been told that he just needs one good deed to acquire salvation. And he is going to this person, that person, and nobody is giving him anything. And he is not getting that one naked of his to acquire salvation. So he is observing this. We show this, dear friends, that in the Akhirat, it's going to be a case of each one for himself. Each one for himself. Each one is going to be standing there with his own load. With whatever he has acquired, whatever he has earned, he'll be with that in the hereafter. Nobody is going to. Here, you're short of a pound, a few pence, somebody will give it to you. Nobody's going to be so tight at that time that they're not going to give you just a pound or even a few pence and that. But do not give it to the wrong people. You get many of these saying, you know, I'm just 20p short of a bus ticket home. You know, I've lost some money, or I'm just short of 50p, and I need to catch a bus home, and I'm just 50p short. Please, can you spare me 50p in that? So we may feel it's just 50p, but we know it's not a case of catching a bus home; it's a case of catching a bus to the grave earlier than time. These are those people who are dwelling in drugs. Any excuse to scrounge out any 20p, 50p, 30p from here there. There we should not give. By giving them, you're just assisting them in the wrong that they're doing. You're making their habit bad as well. And now, monetary-wise, in this world, a person will help out. People will give. In the Akhirat, nobody's going to help anybody at all. It is only what we go with. For that reason, it's a case of, look, do as much as we can now, so that at least it is there. Because remember, what's going to happen is that when we go, we might go with so much there, but when we reach there, it might not be as much as what we went from here. On the basis of whether there was sincerity in it or not. Whether it was accepted or not by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do not know what the outcome of it might be there. That's where a lot of items you find that something, you might have some food stuff or something. When you take it out from the packaging, it's so large. You put it in the oven, it comes out and it's shunked. Says, how? I was expecting such a big, huge fish to eat. But when it comes out of the oven, it shrinks. So that will happen with a person's amal. This is, and this is, I'll come to this hadith. With regards to what I mentioned to you, hukuk Allah and hukuk al-ibad. But I'm taking more time on this hukuk Allah, hukuk al-ibad, the introduction to what I was supposed to be mentioning with regards to liyaskuna ilayha. Anyhow, I was mentioning to you that this individual will be seeing this, and when he'll see this, he'll totally lose hope, because his condition will be such that he has no good amal at all. He'll think to himself that here this person at least did good, and he's just short of one good deed, and he's in so much water, and he's been granted salvation just because of one lack of one good deed, and I am such that I've done no good deeds at all, and I'm definitely a goner. I'm totally goner. So he'll think to himself and he'll totally lose hope, that and he'll be preparing himself for the fire of Jahannam. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, what are you thinking? Why have you lost hope for? To which he'll say, Allah, when this person who's just short of one good deed and he can't grant salvation, when I have no good deeds at all, how can I ever grant the salvation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, do you want to know and you want to see how? And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the angel, that by put him in Jannat and give salvation to this person as well. This one who was lacking one neki, Allah ta'ala say, forgive him as well and forgive this guy as well. The one who's got no good deeds whatsoever. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is with regards to hukukullah. Allah ta'ala either by means of us seeking forgive, if where there is any deficiency or neglect in hukukullah, Tawbah and istighfar will do the job. Otherwise, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember, dear friends, where we mention these type of examples, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions such a hadith, it is not there for us to then have hope, oh fine, well if this guy went with nothing at all, then this is the good news you've given us. Finish Isha, last final namaz of my life now. Tomorrow Fajr, sleep in. Zohar, chill out. Asr, Maghrib, put your feet up. Watch a long movie. Isha, night clubbing. It's haram ho gaya. No good deeds at all. Chalo, do everything wrong, do whatever you want, go there and Allah will forgive me. He got forgiven, I'll be forgiven. That isn't the case. It isn't a rule. The rule is straightforward. That whoever, according to the deeds of a person, according to the deeds of a person, this is how a person will be dealt with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His amal. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٍ Where the scales are light, his good deeds outweigh the evil deeds, he will be in Jannah. Where it is the opposite, he will be in Mahiya, in the fire of Jahannam. There, Radhiya, he is Hawiya. وَمَا دَرَكَ مَاهِيَةٍ نَارٌ حَامِيَةٍ Blazing, burning flame and fire. On the basis of the scales, what has outweighed the other. So that is the rule and the principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where Allah subhanahu desires and He wants to go against that, because Allah subhanahu is free to do what He wants. Well, Allah goes against the book with whoever He desires, so we cannot know beforehand that that will be how Allah will deal with us. And when that is the case, then, and Hazrat Hakim al-Ummah Thani rahmatullahi has mentioned a beautiful incident. An incident and to make us understand this principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where he mentions that there was an officer, a government officer, and he had gone to meet the minister, the actual minister of that province or so. And when he went there, he had taken his child with. He had taken his child with. And when he had taken his child with, the minister, he had this habit of jesting with children, teasing children. So when they were about to debate in that, this minister, he started teasing the child, started poking his nose and pulling his nose and that. So when he did that, this child got angry and he swore the minister. He got angry and he swore the minister. When he swore the minister, obviously the father, he became very disturbed by this and angry with this, saying to him, this is my boss, do something wrong, you've disobeyed him, you've angered him, then this is my job on the line. So he became really upset at the time and he's now asking forgiveness on behalf of the child. And then the minister asked him, why did you do such, as a child, why did you swear me? To which he mentioned, well, you teased me, so I teased you back. I took badla, you did wrong to me, I did wrong back to you. The minister was very, he was quite overwhelmed with the sincerity of this child. This child's sincerity, his openness and what he had done. So he became so attached and he liked what he saw at that time. And then he had said to his other officers that from now on, from my side, fix a daily or weekly or monthly allowance for this child. Pocket money for this child. So he fixed for him allowance for the child, saying that this child will grow up to be a very helpful child. Because he has a lot of courage in him. So he became very attracted towards this child on this basis. Hazrat Hakim al-Thaibi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that look, that this was a one-off situation. That now do not think that this child, he went and he slapped the minister. On him slapping the minister, he got an allowance. Let me go and also slap the minister and I'll also get an allowance. As then mentioned that you'll go and do that and you'll get more than an allowance. You get free food and accommodation as well. Where? Free food and accommodation in the prison. So there is a case, as I mentioned, that it was the case one off with this child, that this minister dealt with him in such a manner. That although he did this, but the minister felt dealt with him in such a manner. That isn't a case where everybody goes there and swears the minister or slaps the minister that he's going to be dealt with the same way. To which he mentioned that these similar incidents, which are mentioned in the hadith, these are just one off incidents with whoever Allah subhanahu desires. It's not a case of everybody will be dealt with the same. So we cannot just rely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us as well in such a manner. We need to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is hukukullah. So with regards to hukukullah, this is the position of a person makes tawbah and istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. But when it comes to the other, which is hukukul ibad, and hukukul ibad is the most important. From the two, the more important. On the basis that there hukukullah, you seek forgiveness, Allah will forgive. Hukukul ibad, which is to do with the rights of humanity, the rights of mankind, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive until that person does not seek forgiveness from whoever they have done wrong to. Their forgiveness, and here Allah's mercy is so much, we can see how much mercy there is of Allah. That even if a thorn pricks us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that as an excuse to forgive our minor sins. But when it comes to hukukul ibad, there is a case of no. My forgiveness will be based on His forgiveness. The one that you have wronged, the one whose rights you have taken, if they forgive, then I will forgive. Otherwise, it is based upon that individual's forgiveness. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned with regards to shahadat as well, the position of shahadat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the shaheed, all his sins are forgiven. Nabi gets up and goes, Nabi Kareem calls him back and says, illa dain, even a shaheed, who all his sins are forgiven, illa dain, but dain, qarz, the loan that he has taken, money that he has borrowed. Why? Because that money that he has borrowed is to do with who? It is to do with hukukul ibad. If he becomes shaheed, all hukukul law will be forgiven. But hukukul ibad, if they still hukukul ibad left, that will not be forgiven. That's what Nabi Kareem mentioned, illa dain, knowing that, look, if I mention that, yes, all. And another nation is mentioned that he said, yes, all these sins are forgiven. Jibreel came and said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, illa dain. Why? Because if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, all these sins, and everybody just go out and get shaheed, and that's fine, all the sins are forgiven. Then what about the rights of people that they have done wrong? They'll say, fair enough. Go and wrong people, oppress people, do zulam on people, take what belongs to them, and take money from them, and do not pay them back, and then just go off and become shaheed, and fine, everything is forgiven. Best of both, best of this world and the hereafter. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, illa dain. No, hukukul ibad. Even that won't be forgiven. Even shahadat will not forgive hukukul ibad. That is how important hukukul ibad is. But unfortunately, hukukul ibad, we don't even recognize, never mind giving it its due, or a portion of its due, we do not even recognize there is such a thing as hukukul ibad. We just think everything is hukukullah. And due to which we'll be doing all our ibadat in there, but when it comes to us doing wrong to people, there we do not worry about that. Just the way drinking. We all know how wrong drinking is. That if a person, if we know of somebody drinking, the people who know of it will regard that to be so bad, and the one who drinks will regard his drinking to be bad as well. One day or another he might make tawbah because he knows what he's doing is wrong. And the people who are seeing him drinking, they also know the severity and they know how wrong, the wrong that he's doing. And they'll want to stop him from drinking. But when we sit and we make ghibat of one another, we don't even regard that to be any sin at all. The one who is making the ghibat doesn't regard that to be a sin. And the one looking and watching and listening to ghibat does not even regard that to be sin. Whereas here where he's drinking, that is hukukullah. Here the ghibat that we're doing, this is hukukul ibad. But because it's a hukukul ibad, we don't even regard it to be hukukul ibad. We don't even regard it to be a sin. We overlook it and regard it to be a trivial matter. The drinking, that we regard to be a major matter. But this is how important that is. This is just as important, but this is more because this is to do with hukukul ibad. That you may ghibat of an individual, you will not be forgiven until you don't seek forgiveness from the one that you made ghibat of. Hazrat Hakim al-Mutanimi Rahmatullah Ali has clarified this for us. That now that does not mean that you go and start seeking forgiveness from all the people that you made ghibat of. Because if that is the case, where will we start and where will we end? Where will we start and where will we end? And when will we start and when will we end? So that is the case, that until the person we have wronged does not forgive us, we won't be forgiven. So in ghibat also a person has to receive forgiveness. So the Ta'alim Rahmatullah mentions that this ruling in ghibat refers to when the person who we have made ghibat of becomes aware that we have made ghibat of them, then we should go and seek forgiveness from them. Where they are not aware of it, there is no need for us to seek forgiveness, to ask them to forgive us. There is a case of rather than you do good deeds, make dua for that individual until you feel that now you have done enough good for that individual. Why? Because when a person makes the ghibat of somebody, and then that person, if they come to know of it, is going to cause them a lot of grief. So what is ghibat? Ghibat is that you speak ill of an individual in such a manner that if they were to become aware of it, then they would dislike it, it would hurt them. And that illness or that bad mention that you're taking is something that is found in that individual. If it isn't found in that individual, then it is buhtan, it is slander, which is worse. It is slander. If it's not found in that individual, and if it is truly, yes, the person has this fault, then you're talking that this is how this person is. But that person wouldn't like to hear that from you. This is what ghibat is. So if a person becomes aware that you've made a ghibat of them, they'll become very distressful with that. So here where they are unaware of you making the ghibat. So as it is, you've done wrong in one sense of making the ghibat to them. And now if you're going to go by and say, okay, bye, last night, you know, we were sat with a few mates and, you know, you were with us and then you left. And as soon as you left, we were making ghibat of yours. So bye, forgive me because last night we were making ghibat of yours. Now you're going to go around telling everybody, look, last night I made ghibat of you. In the morning I made ghibat of you, please forgive me. Just imagine, where he didn't know. That grief, you didn't cause him any grief. But now when you go and you tell him about it, then just imagine how much grief you're going to bring that individual. I thought you were my mate. I thought we were friends. I thought we were from the same jamaat, the same company. Same musallis of the same masjid. Same peer-wise of the same khanka. But then as soon as I'm gone and you're making ghibat of me, you're speaking ill about me. So yeah, how much? Just imagine how much grief that you'll cause that person. So you don't have to now go around telling them, asking them for forgiveness. But where you know that they become aware of the ghibat that you made of them, there you should go and make seek forgiveness from them. And why is ghibat so bad? Because when you speak ill of an individual, you're doing it in their ghuyubat. You're doing it where they are ghaib. They are not present at that time. And when they are not present at that time, they cannot defend themselves. If they were there at that time, they would say, no, sorry, you've got a misconception here. You've misunderstood. It isn't like this, but it is like that. This is not what I did, but this is what I had done. This is what the reality is. The person, when you make a ghibat of them, they cannot defend themselves. For that reason, it is something that is so bad. So, there, hukukul ibad, we don't even regard anything in that. On one occasion, a person came to us, Dr. Abdul Hisab Rahmatullah Ali, and mentioned to Dr. Abdul Hisab Rahmatullah Ali that Alhamdulillah, and he was very glad and happy on this matter, and he said that I have reached the position of ihsan. I have acquired ihsan. And what is ihsan? أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. That you do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I've reached the position of ihsan. Read salah and read namaz, and I've got the quality of ihsan in me. So Dr. Abdul Hisab Rahmatullah Ali asked him, Rabbi, tell me, this quality of ihsan, do you find that in all your deeds? Only in salah? He said, no. The quality of ihsan is only needed in salah. As Nabi Kareem salah mentioned, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, that you do the ibadat of Allah as if you're seeing Allah. So it is only in salah, in the ibadat. As Dr. Abdul Hisab Rahmatullah Ali asked him, look, do you find in the same the quality of ihsan in you? When you're giving sadaqah, do you find the quality of ihsan in you when you're dealing with your wife, when you're dealing with their children, when you're dealing with other people? Do you have the quality of ihsan at that time as well? No, there's no need for ihsan, then it is only when you do the ibadat. We showed us that according to him, he thought ibadat is only what? Salah. Ibadat is only salah. In salah, I find the quality of ihsan, so that means that I've acquired ihsan. Whereas Dr. Lahisa mentioned, this is, shows us that we think ibadat is just limited to what this Sawm, Salat, Zakat, Hajj, etc. That's it. Whereas there is more, but rather you'll find majority of deen is laid in, is to do with huququl ibad, the rights of mankind. And this is what is very, very important. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala once asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to a specific woman, that he, what will her plight be? Is she in Jannat? Is she in Jannat or Jahannam? What did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask? And they mentioned that she is one who does a lot of ibadat. She does a lot of ibadat, nawafil and tahajjud and sadaqah and all the good deeds she does. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam judged her on what? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, what's her dealings like with her neighbors? How is she like with her neighbors? The Sahaba mentioned, but oh Allah, oh Nabi of Allah, she found mouse the neighbors. She causes taklif to the neighbors. She causes aziyat, harm to the neighbors. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that she's in fire of Jahannam. Whereas she does her ibadah. An excessive ibadat as well, but Nabi Kareem judged her on what? Not on her ibadat, but her dealings with her neighbor. And then the Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to another woman who would do her farais and that's it, nothing more with more than her farais. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them that how is she with her neighbors? He mentioned, no, she's very good, she deals well with her neighbors, they're pleased with her. Nabi Kareem mentioned that she's in Jannah. So what did one get Jannah and the other Jahannam? The neighbor. And the neighbor is which ibadat? That is huququl ibad. So even how we keep with our neighbors, this is also ibadat. So ibadat is not just the salat, sawm and zakat. All these other aspects are also part of our deen. And this is huququl ibad, and this is the most important. Because otherwise, and I'll end off on this then, coming back to what I had mentioned to you previously as well, of how you put something in here and it ends up in the oven and it comes very small. By here we might leave with this from this world with a whole huge amount of amal, a lot of, we think that we've done a lot of deeds. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, that do you know who a muflis is? Do you know who a destitute is? Sahaba says, of course, the one who has no money at all, no material at all, he's a muflis. Nabi Kareem says, no, he's not a muflis. A muflis and a bankrupt person is who? Is the one who on the day of resurrection, he will come with huge pile, full loads, full of amal. A lot of amal he had done. But at the same time, he had not seen towards the rights of mankind. Huququl ibad. He slandered this person, he backbited that person, he took from that person, he stole from that person, he hurt this person and he hurt that person. Due to which, they'd all come now to acquire from him. To take revenge from him. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that whoever he had done wrong with. Because on the day of Qiyamah, everybody will get its due. Nabi Kareem mentioned in the hadith, to that extent, where one ram may have hit and scarred the other ram on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them in front as well, and the other will get his revenge, and then they will be made to dust. So revenge will be given. In this way, each one will come. Look, you took £1,000 from me, saying that you're in a lot of need. You took it from me and you had no intention of repaying it. After that, you prospered, you had a lot of money, but you kept on saying, come tomorrow, come tomorrow, come tomorrow, and the tomorrow came and nothing came. That person on day of Qiyamah will come asking for that £1,000. In the day of Qiyamah, we won't be taking our bank balances with us there. There won't be £1,000. And neither will that person want £1,000. What's he going to do with £1,000? He's not going to put that on his scales. Their currency is going to be amal. Their currency is amal. He's going to say, look, I want £1,000 worth of amal now. And nobody will be wrong at all on that day. Nobody wrong at all. So now what's going to happen is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take £1,000 worth of amal from his deeds. And that will be given to him. And the next one will come. In this way, there's a whole long list of people there. Long line of people there. One after the other, that you did this to me, you did that to me, you did this wrong with me, you did that wrong to me. Now it's taken here, given to them, taken from here, given to them, taken from here and given to them. Until his condition will become such that where he went with so much, he finds that there's nothing there at all. Nothing there at all. But his amal has end, but the line has not end yet. Now, what's there? He has nothing to give them. And the people are still there demanding that we want our rights. We want what we did, what he wronged us. There what will happen then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's got nothing to give, then now take from them. And take from them what? Their evil deeds. Their bad amal will then be put onto his gate. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this is what a muflis is. This is a bankrupt person who went with so much amal, but one by one, he ended up giving everything away. And not only that, but he started inheriting their bad amal as well. This is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. This is what a true muflis is. And this is to do with what? Do with hukukul ibad. For that reason, there's so much stress with regards to hukukul ibad, seeing towards the rights of people. Unfortunately, we live in a time wherein each person is demanding his or her own rights. But nobody is wanting to give others their rights. Every person, each individual. And this is for that reason you will find all sorts of protests going on, where police, those in the police, in public sector, they protesting. Why? Because we want our rights. We want our correct pay. People in the NHS are now demanding their rights. And these people are going on strike. Somebody else is going on strike. These people are asking for their rights. Gays are asking for their rights. And they granted their rights. Everybody is asking and everybody is demanding. Making demanding. In this way, everyone is demanding my rights. And because of that, what's happening in this world is nobody's rights are being fulfilled. Because everybody is asking for rights. The husband, he's just saying, my rights to his wife. I'm the husband, I want my rights. The children are saying to the parents, I want my rights as a child. The parents are saying, I want my rights as a child, as a parent. So everybody is asking, my rights. This neighbor is saying to the other neighbors, I want my rights as a neighbor. So everybody is demanding their rights, but nobody is willing to give others their rights. So we just asking, demanding, and nobody's rights have been fulfilled. Because as long as that husband is going on and on, my rights, where is he going to give the rights to of the wife? And this is what's happening. The one neighbor is saying, my rights. But then, he's not giving his rights. The father is not, he's demanding his rights. But he's not fulfilling his duties towards his children. The husband is asking for his rights. But he's not fulfilling his duties towards his wife. Or his duties towards his children. Or the children are asking for their rights, but they're not doing seeing towards the responsibility towards their parents. In this way, we're demanding, but we're not giving. And where a person sees towards the rights of others, then automatically everybody's rights will be fulfilled. But as a husband, I see towards the rights of my wife. I've given her rights and she'll see towards the rights upon her of, to the husband. In this way, everybody's rights. Entire society, young, old, poor, whoever needs whatever rights, everybody's rights will be fulfilled. When we understand the importance of hukukul ibad. And this is the route towards where Allah Ta'ala mentions, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, that if you want this sukoon, compassion and comfort and peace in your marriage, then both the husband and wife needs to lay importance towards hukukul ibad. And if both fulfill their rights with regards to what the duties of a wife are and what the duties of the husband are, then definitely you will get the aspect of لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. Allah Ta'ala wills, we shall mention some of these hukuk. The plan was to mention the hukuk of some of the hukuk of the wife. When why the wife? Well, we live in a world where it's the case of women first, ladies first. So it was a case of the plan was to mention some of the hukuk of the wife. But this was an introduction for us to understand that the foundation, the root is this hukuk. So the husband, he goes home and he just sat there saying, no, I'm the boss in the house. I'm the husband and hey, you know, you're my wife, you're the wife and the husband. Do this, do that for me. And I want this, you're supposed to be doing this for me, you're supposed to be doing that for me. You will find nothing will happen. Because he's going to be sat there, you know, I want my rights. And she's going to be sat there also, no, you want your rights and I want my rights as well. So you want me to do this for you, then you need to do this for me. You expect me to do this for you, but you're not doing this for me. So in this way, he's not doing anything, she's not doing anything. And this is when all this then two fighting then starts about. Where he's now shouting at her, she's shouting to him, he's demanding this, she's demanding that, and she's breaking this plate, and she's breaking one plate, he's breaking two plates. She's slamming one door, he's slamming two doors. And this is what's happening in our homes. Why? Because no one is not thinking, let me see towards her right. And she's not thinking, let me see towards his right. So this is the root. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.